Welcome to Tilly's Trans Tuesdays. This week, we conclude our talk on trans kids by learning what most go through just to access that care and what their parents will do to protect them in Trans Kids 2, the intake exam and trans flight. Hi, I'm Tilly Bridges, your host, and I'm joined by my writing partner, my best friend, my wife, our token cis representation, a lady I know always has my back in the fight for trans rights, Susan Bridges.
Hello.
Our returning guest is Carla, a freelance writer who is also a wonderfully supportive mom to a trans kid. Welcome back, Carla.
Thanks for having me on.
All right, so what the heck is the intake exam? It is something most cis folks have literally no idea about. Now, there are places in this country that have informed consent for trans people. You go in, certify that you consent to the treatment, and you get treated. These places are vanishing quickly with the legislative assault on trans care, however. In the rare places that might have informed consent for trans kids, what does that look like? It's something the entire medical establishment has rules for, to deal with everything related to kids and their medical care, gender-affirming care or not. Doctors know how to handle all these medical issues with kids. Trans care is no different. There is a link in the show notes about how the entire medical field already has rules for informed consent with kids for all the care they might need. But what if a medical provider does not have informed consent for gender-affirming health care? Well, let me tell you about what it was like and how difficult it was for me as an adult. I could have found an informed consent provider. There are several here in Los Angeles. But they would not have been covered by my insurance. Gender-affirming care paid for out of pocket is just not feasible for many trans folks who are often financially unstable due to the employment and housing discrimination we face. 1 in 5 trans people has been discriminated against when seeking housing. 1 in 10 has been evicted due to anti-trans discrimination. Link in the show notes. 30% of trans people have experienced homelessness. More than 1/3 have experienced poverty, and the unemployment rate is at 18% for trans people. Again, link in the show notes. For a whole lot of us, paying out of pocket for transition care just is not feasible. So for those of us lucky enough to even have insurance, we have little choice other than to do what our healthcare insurance and provider require. So before I get into my full experience, Carla, I wanted to ask if you and your kid have discussed puberty blockers or anything like that yet, or if it's at all on their mind what puberty does to the body as they age.
Yes.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I would say unfortunately, because she's so little, it feels like something she shouldn't need to worry about.
Right.
Yet. But she is aware that as she gets older, she could get a beard. She's aware that her voice could change. I would say when she turned 5, she, in her head, she thought the second she was going to turn 5, she was going to start looking like an adult.
Oh.
And that her voice was going to be different, like just overnight.
Oh,
like,
no.
Just wake up and her voice was going to be deeper. And she was terrified of that happening because she's like, I just want to look like what I look like now. I just want to be this. And, you know, now she realizes like, okay, she's growing and things are not happening like quickly or all that, but she is aware that like her body parts are different.
Yeah.
She's definitely had some questions about why that is. Like, if I'm a girl, why don't I have X, Y, or Z?
Sure.
And so trying to talk with her about like, there's this great, that's another one of those books I'll have to find for you because I checked it out from the library where it kind of talks about like the sperm and the ovum, but in a way that's gender neutral.
Oh, wow. I love that.
Yes. So I made sure to get her that book. And I was like, you know, it just depends. Like, you just don't know. It's not something you're going to know. So we haven't talked to her about that yet because she does have, I would say, anxiety, again, because of the lack of consistent support she got from other people in her life. around that, and especially now that, like, I don't even know what that's going to look like. Is it even going to be possible? Or are we going to have to leave the country? Because that's obviously one of the things that's like on the mind, I think, of anyone who's trans, non-binary, you know, parents of kids like that, is when is it not safe anymore? And can we even make it happen to leave? And then can we even make care happen outside of the country? Because it's not like it's so easy, like, I'm just going to go to Canada and get care. It's like you have to deal with the national health system, and you know, are the providers even taking new patients? So it's like this whole other level of chaos around it. So the most that she knows is that as she gets older, if it's something she wants to talk about, we have a provider set up for her to talk to her about it. If it's something she decides she wants to do as she gets older, that's literally like all she knows. She doesn't know that it would include blockers. She doesn't know that it would include hormones. She just knows that if things are happening that she isn't comfortable with or she doesn't like or whatever, that there are options in place to discuss it. And, you know, one of the things when it comes to that sort of care too is like you have to catch it at like a very specific time in the development. If you're like stage, they call, I think it's like three different stages. If you're at stage two is when you want to kind of catch it with the blockers. And they, of course, it's like blood work. You got to have blood work. And you need an endocrine specialist to be able to interpret that blood work correctly. And then if you're stage three, it's like it's too late. It's too late. If your hormones when they draw your blood show that you're already in stage three, it's too late. So as a parent, it's like understanding what sort of physical signs I have to kind of look out for to know when to sort of be like, okay, well, we probably need to at least talk about this to see if what you want to do. But again, it's like, what if any options are even going to be available? And what's that going to look like if we can't get her that help? Like, what is that going to look like? It's not going to be pretty.
No, from someone who went through it, it's going to be really rough.
It's going to be really rough. And, you know, obviously the concern for a lot of us parents is our kid going to take drastic measures?
It's a big concern. It's such a hard thing to go through, and I know a lot of cis people can't even fathom. Like, again, go back and listen to the episode on gender dysphoria and know what it was like for me, and then realize that so many people and kids have it even worse than I did. So you really need to understand how serious it is. I think so many
Yeah,
people
even
don't
with
know.
us right now, it's like we don't know what insurance coverage is going to look like in the future. Like, even just being in California right now, I've been unemployed. So we're on Medi-Cal, which is Medicaid, basically. And they tried to strip care for trans people from all Medicaid plans
Then I would have lost it without
covered
paying out of pocket, and we have no money.
all 50 states. And then not only that, with legislation, Covered California is an option to pay for insurance, but also Covered California plans are supposed to go up dramatically
75%
because
says to truck.
in January. So we have no idea what the future is going to look like. And that's just a small portion. Like, someone with a trans kid is obviously going through different things. But I mean, yeah, you're definitely looking at, is there a way to leave the country? What does that look like?
We're gonna get into that in a little bit.
Well, and then speaking of like the cost, and this is like a totally random aside when you're speaking about like gender affirming care, I have a bird and she started just laying eggs, lots and lots and lots of eggs, and she is a single bird, and it's dangerous for them when they do this because it strips the calcium out of their bones if they're not eating enough calcium either in their food or their cuddle bones or whatever. So of course I went to the vet and was like, what do I do to stop this from happening? Do you want to know what they offered as an option? Lupron. You give your bird an
Hormones.
injection of hormones to stop it. And they were like, we would normally offer this to you, but there's two reasons we can't. First of all, with everything that's going on in this country, you would not think that this would impact veterinarians, but they cannot get a hold of Lupron to take care of their pets because of these restrictions. And on top of it, it's like $1,000 a shot. And my bird is like
Holy
this
crap.
big. Like, my bird is this big. So you have to imagine the amount that she would have needed wouldn't have been.
Yeah.
Like, very much. Probably like that much. It would have been $1,000.
Wow.
If they could have even found it. And wow. That's for a tiny bird.
Yeah.
So, like, how are people going to afford it?
Yeah, I think like the standard cost for the estrogen that I'm on, if insurance didn't cover it, was like, I think it's like $200 a month, which is a lot of money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, but yeah, and that can change at any time because.
Of course.
It's not like, yeah. I'm sorry to hear that about your bird, though.
Yeah, like... thank God she finally stopped laying eggs and we were able to get enough like calcium into her diet. But it's like she ended up egg bound. I don't know if you've ever heard of that before.
Yeah, that's really dangerous.
Yeah. And I'm just like, please stop doing this every spring.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Well, the first thing that happened when I told my doctor I was trans and wanted to medically transition was her referring me to a psychologist. Not because she thought being transgender is a mental illness, but because it's their policy. And some of the reason is that mental illness can often be worsened by or even caused by gender dysphoria. So, of course, they want to check for that and be sure you get whatever help you may need on that front, which is good. And I absolutely understand and appreciate that. But they also want to, quote unquote, make sure you're trans, again, showing they're more concerned about not letting a cis person make a mistake than they are about helping actual trans people get the care we need. They wouldn't even consider referring me to an endocrinologist to begin HRT until I had my intake exam with the psychologist. This psychologist was a specialist in gender and transitioning. She is my go-to for any other referrals I need for other services related to transitioning. My voice therapy, laser or electrolysis hair removal, gender confirmation surgeries, all of that stuff. So how did this lady determine I was trans? We had a very long talk and she had a billion questions to ask me. And I had to justify my existence as a woman to her. And please sit with that for a minute. Have you ever had to convince someone you're a man or a woman? How would you do that? Especially when you can't reduce it to your secondary sexual characteristics. I mean, even outside of being trans, the entire point of feminism is that women, or anyone, cannot be reduced to nothing but their reproductive organs. All of us are more than the sex junk we're born with, despite what right-wing bigots want us to think, because they see cis women as nothing more than baby-making machines. I had to dig up every memory I could find in the course of my years of self-examination, where looking back I could see signs of my dysphoria, of my longing to be the girl I knew I was. I had to prove to a total stranger that I am who I say I am. And if I failed, too bad, Tilly, you don't get the medical care you need to make your life worth living. Does that scare you? Because it should. It effing scared me. Because what if I didn't say the right thing? What if because my dysphoria revolved mostly around my face, chest, and body hair, and not my crotch, she decided I wasn't quote-unquote trans enough to transition? And by the way, yes, you are trans enough, no matter how much or how little medical or social transition you do or want. Listen to episode 13 of this show for more. It's just terrifying and awful. It is a nightmare, and I don't know how to tell you what it's like. I'm a writer, and I can't find the words for it. And so I want to ask you, Carla, and you, Susan, because we've got two cis ladies on the show, which is a rarity. So let me ask you, what are your thoughts about having to prove you're a woman to someone without using any physical features? Do you even know how you would do it?
I'm just not interested. I would probably fail.
But you're avoiding the question.
I know. I don't really think about it a lot.
But if you had to, what would you do? How would you do it?
Well,
do you have any idea?
I'm fat and I hate my body.
Oh, that makes me a woman.
No.
Oh, no. This society is so messed up.
Yes.
Yeah.
But really, it's true that, like, the body standards of being a woman are so narrow that it is a great source of anxiety for me with all of my health issues.
Sure.
No one will decide, well, you aren't, you know, thin and fit and therefore you deserve your health issues and therefore we won't really expend that much effort in keeping you alive. And that is a source of anxiety for me as someone with many health issues since I was in my 20s.
That's understandable. Do you have thoughts, Carla?
Wow. I mean, it depends on what their definition is, right? Like, what is their definition of what makes a woman? I, you know, like I said, I've been told many, many times that I don't fit the definition of what makes a woman. So I have, I have absolutely no concept of what I would say. And, you know, taking it back to like what sort of care my kid has gotten, because she came out so early.
Yeah.
It's actually, before everything that's happening right now, it was actually in her favor, because she is being persistent, consistent. And I forget what the three words, there's like three words they look for, like persistent, consistent, insistent. Maybe that's it. In who you are over an extended period of time. So because she came out at such a young age, she would have been less likely in a non-Trump world to get the care she needed without the amount of scrutiny. And I know that where we go, that was one of the things they were like, we need to show this. We need to show that it's consistent and insistent and like persistent. That's it. Consistent, insistent, and persistent. Like, it's just that it basically doesn't change over time, that this is who they are. They have to continually say, like, this is who I am from a young age in order to make it less likely to get denied the care when and if they need it. When and if they need it, which is like, can you imagine? I mean, not that she knows that that's what she's doing. I don't, you know, I don't think she's quite aware of that concept, but, and she already has to do it anyway. Well, you're too young. You're too young. You can't know this stuff. There's no way you would know this, you know, again, with like what you said about the hormones, like, well, just don't do it until you're 18. And it's like, well, but you can't even do, there's no point for blockers. It's too late.
Exactly. It's too late.
Like, it's too late. Like, you've taken away that option from them. Well, what about, you know, the things that people hear about with potential concerns with the blockers? It's like, even if there was an issue with it, you are under such a high level of scrutiny while you're on these medications that even if, God forbid, there was something, it would be caught in like a millisecond.
And I find that whole issue with like the persistence to be like so frustrating and like cis focused, because like there's no telling when someone's going to realize or when a kid might figure it out. And if they do figure it out and they are suffering and they need to make things better, saying, well, we can't do that for you because it hasn't been persistent. You only just figured it out. Come back in 2 years. You're forcing them to suffer for years. And that's horrible. And so it's always...
This is also banning books for children that might explain these
things. Right, so they can't figure it out earlier.
So that they understand the way they're feeling is something that a lot of people feel.
Right, and there's things you can do to make yourself feel better.
Right.
Yeah, it's so maddening because, again, I feel like they're approaching it from the... Heaven forbid a cis person make a mistake. You must suffer for years so we can be sure that you are who you know you yourself to be.
And not and even to mention children who were in an unsafe situation.
Right.
They couldn't even begin to try to do any of the things that they wanted to do.
Right. Yeah.
Well, and that's what's extra crazy too, right? So it's like, well, she's too young. That's always been a consistent thing with my kid. She's too young. She can't know this. She can't understand this. She doesn't know what this means. You know, you should never have allowed this. You know, you're setting her up for failure. You're setting her up for abuse and all this other stuff. And yet at the same token, if she had waited to come out as a teenager, it would have been, well, she's just doing it for attention.
Yeah,
she's just doing it because it's a fad. She's just doing it for X, Y, and Z. And I've seen this with a lot of people where it's like, they think they're too young. But then if the kid comes out as a teenager, they're completely discredited simply for being a teenager. But if, because my kid came out young as a teenager, if she ends up asking for this type of care, she won't be questioned, even though she's being questioned now.
Yeah.
Because she's too young. It's like the mental gymnastics that are happening are insane.
Yeah, it is such a mess. And what you have to understand is the trans kids who do want puberty blockers, all of those kids who are already on puberty blockers, the vast majority don't have informed consent. They go through varying levels of the intake exam. And a doctor, a psychologist trained in gender and transitioning, has listened to them and made the medical determination that it's in the patient's best interest to be on those puberty blockers.
Probably multiple doctors.
Yes, many of them. Especially given, again, they make no permanent changes to the body. So what right does any government have to interfere in a matter between patients and their doctors? If you're seeing stark parallels between trans folks and their transition care and cis women and trans men and non-binary people with uteruses and their right to choice, yeah, weird, huh? Maybe think about why that is. It's all connected. See Bodily Autonomy and My Tattoo in episode 55 and read the essay on trans rage, aka Stop Forgetting About Us, at
PhillyTransTuesdays.com.
To learn how it's all the same fight and cis people as a whole need to wake the hell up to that already. Every trans kid has already done more self-examination than a whole lot of cis adults ever do in their entire lives. And I'm so thankful some of them have safe home environments in which to do that, but I also know that many do not. I certainly didn't. And please, do not give me bullshit about supportive environments or being exposed to the very idea of trans people as being quote-unquote brainwashing or whatever the hell you want to call it. Hey, cis folks, how much trans acceptance would make you suddenly not feel like a man or a woman? Is it zero? Of course it's zero. No amount of exposure to trans people is going to make cis people suddenly trans, just as no amount of exposure to cis people is going to make trans people cisgender. It doesn't work that way, and you know it. You never decided you were cis. You never decided you were straight or gay. Discover, sure. Decide, no. These aren't choices. They're facts of existence. Where the fear comes in is that in learning about trans people, seeing us may make you think you might be trans too, might make your kids wonder, and some of you might discover that you are, and that scares the crap out of them. Because it means everyone you know and all of society has been lying to you. It means the very foundation of our society's patriarchal white supremacy, that men are manly men fighters who feel only lust and anger, that women are demure, subservient baby makers, is a damned lie. And then you see all the other lies our society is founded on in terms of racism, ableism, xenophobia, fatphobia, ageism, and on and on. It means admitting you got conned about who you are and choosing to make it right because you know yourself better than anyone else and you don't have to be who anyone else tells you to be. And even if you're not trans, just thinking about whether or not you are, which may reconfirm your cisness, means waking up to the lies you've been force-fed for your entire life. And sadly, when people learn they've been scammed, most can't admit to themselves that they got took. So they double down on the scam rather than change and chase actual real happiness. It's the sunk cost fallacy. They've invested so much in believing the lie, they can't risk it all now, especially when society rewards you for conforming. In fact, okay, stick with me here.
That's too many.
Listen, see my trans allegory deep dives on The Matrix in episode 26 and my book, Begin Transmission, The Trans Allegories of the Matrix. Barbie in episode 61 to 68. I Saw the TV Glow in episodes 81 to 87. Star Trek Strange New Worlds, Ad Astra per Aspera in episodes 114 to 116. Silo in episodes 36 to 44, Real Genius in episodes 103 to 106, and The Twilight Zone's Nervous Man in a $4 Room on the website at
TillyTransTuesdays.com
for more, because all of them deal with the way society rewards you for conforming.
That reminded me of something. So
yeah,
a lot of the pushback I've gotten over the years, especially when she was much younger than she is now, was, you know, I'm allowing this. I influenced mm-hmm. her. I made her this way. I did this.
Sure.
This was her. And I'm just like, have y'all met my kid?
Have you met any kids?
Have you met my kid?
You can't force them to be, no.
Like, my kid, if she did not want, like, whatever it was, there is no world in which she would be doing this. There's absolutely right. no world. Like, she is too independent and too stubborn and strong-willed. You know, there's this free program that, unfortunately, due to all the things happening in the federal government, has been defunded. It was this free program for moms and dads in our county from age 0 to 5 that basically provided support for you in raising your kid, linking you to resources and everything else.
Yeah.
Until they start kindergarten. And so the person that was working the program with me was like, you have a very strong-willed child, and a strong-willed child is a trial. Because as I'm sure you guys know from when you were raising your own child, when they're like 2, 3, 4, like, forget it. It's like, you can't make them do anything.
No. Can't even make them go to bed most of the time.
No, you can't make them brush their teeth. Like, forget right. it. Like, go to the bathroom. Like, forget no. it. So it's been interesting watching as she's gotten older and she's been consistent, persistent, insistent that now they more accept it as her decision that this is who she is and who she wants to be, but they still go back to, but it's your fault that she's like this because you allowed it, because you didn't tell her this wasn't inappropriate, that you didn't tell her that this wasn't okay, that you didn't tell her that this was how hard this was going to make her life, or, you know, whatever it is that their excuses. Yeah. So it's been interesting watching that, and disheartening, of course, sort sure. of watching that happen.
Yeah, it's, yeah, I mean, like, I just don't understand the people, like, it's you allowed this. Like, yes, I did want my kid to suffer. I did not force my kid to be someone they're not and be tortured through that existence for my own comfort. Like, that's, it's so ridiculous to me. It's such a non-issue. Like, as a parent, all I want is for my kid to be happy and safe, you know, and whatever that means. And it's, I think that's part of this issue. It's tied up within our society where so many people view children as property and not people, mm-hmm. you know, like, you have to do this. You're my kid. You live in my house. You follow my rules. And that's a human being. That's a person.
Yeah.
It's a little human.
Right.
And, like, just even, you know, parents who are against talking about LGBT issues, like, or against teaching children about LGBT people, like, what you don't say, your kid also picks up on.
Yeah.
Like, I can, like, when I came across a person like that, I was like, you know what? Your kid probably goes to school with kids who have two moms or two dads.
Yeah.
And they know you're not talking about it, and they don't know why. Or that they know you think it's bad for some reason, but they don't understand it.
Yeah.
They are already learning about it without you.
Yeah. Well, and that's like I talked in the last episode about my mom and my stepfather. Like, I didn't know what trans was, and neither did they, but I knew they were transphobic. Like, I didn't have the word for it, but, like, if I did anything as a perceived boy, did anything even slightly girly, they would always punish me for it. I would get in trouble. I would get made fun of by my parents. And so that you learn that that's not acceptable to them, even if you don't have the word for it. The kids pick up on these things, no matter, you know, even from a really young age.
And kids already know it's hard. They're surrounded by other children.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is also a problem because they learn transphobic society from everybody else.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do. And, you know, a lot of the, I think part of what it is with my kid is there's this fear of what could happen to her.
Sure.
And I get that. I understand the fear, but that doesn't mean I'm going to not let her, that's all the more reason to let her be who she is and be confident in who she is, to help push back against what she's inevitably going to have to deal with as she gets older. And I've had a lot of people be like, well, if she gets physically or sexually attacked, it's your fault. And we're going to have no sympathy for you if that happens.
Blaming the victim.
It's
but
your
not
fault.
The perpetrator. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's our society in a nutshell. Oh, yeah. Dear. Well, let's end on an up note. Please read 3 links in the show notes from the parents of trans kids about what it's like for them and what a difference acceptance makes. They're titled, What I Wish I Knew Before My Child Came Out as Transgender, What I Wish People Knew About Raising a Trans Child, and I'm Raising a Transgender Son, My Child Is Not a Threat. Gender-affirming care for trans kids is so important, many parents will uproot their entire lives to move to states who still have it and better protect it, because it's what their kids need to survive. This has been going on for years. There are tons more stories like those that you can find if you do 10 seconds of looking. Some families are even leaving the country. Multiple links in the show notes. And there are even guides on how to do it in organizations whose sole purpose is to help families move to where their trans kids will be safer. There's a whole bunch of resources for that in the show notes if you are the parent of a trans kid looking for resources or help. And after all you've heard over these 2 episodes, you're going to tell me these kids are faking it? Their parents don't know how vital that care is for them? That you think those kids should be forced through unimaginable suffering that many won't survive? If so, please fling yourself into the sun immediately. cis friends, this is your fight too, and it has to be, or these kids are going to suffer and many will never make it to adulthood. There aren't enough trans people to change things on our own. See Trans Politics 1, Stop Tolerating Transphobia in episode 88. In Trans Politics 2, You Must Vote to Protect Us in episode 89 for a whole lot more on that. See Performative Allyship at
TillysTransTuesdays.com
and False Allyship in episode 8. And don't let that be you. Checked out Proactive Allyship in episode 35 and No Escape 2, Some Escape Due to Cis Allyship at
TillysTransTuesdays.com.
Yeah, for what it looks like when you get it right. And if you still can't believe it's true, look. Lawmakers in Utah commissioned a study on gender-affirming care for trans kids, thinking it would justify the ways they were already banning that care. Guess what? The study found that the care works and is good, and the lawmakers just decided to throw it out and ignore it. Link in the show notes. Why would they do that? Excellent question. It's because right-wing bigots have actually admitted that the entire issue of trans kids isn't actually about protecting kids for any reason. It's just an opening to eliminate all trans rights. Yes, there's absolutely a link about that in the show notes. It is so hard for trans people right now, and even more so for trans kids. I need you to let them know you support them, that you're there for them, that you're going to fight for them and defend them with everything you've got. I don't remember who started it or why it disappeared, but I want to bring it back. Letters for Trans Kids was a hashtag going around from adults writing letters of support to trans kids, and they need to see them now more than ever. Write it, photograph it, post it to your social media accounts. Here's mine. Hi, trans kids. I'm trans just like you. I was a trans kid too, but I didn't figure that out until I was an adult. You're already so far ahead of the game. I'm so happy you found your true self, and please know the people who disagree are wrong. Don't ever listen to anyone who thinks they know who you are better than you do. Things are scary right now, but you are not alone. You are loved, and we will never stop fighting for you. P.S. I bet your handwriting is better than mine. I should practice more, huh? But nobody can make me. That's the fun of being an adult. Someday, when you're an adult, we can both not practice handwriting and then have ice cream for dinner. Thank you again for being here to discuss this with us, Carla, and for being the amazing parent that your kid needs and deserves.
Thank you so much for having me on. I'm glad I was able to be on here and talk about all this with you guys. It's so important for people to just find their humanity in this.
Well said. Yes. Find your humanity. These kids need us. They need you. And friends, your support of trans kids is literally life-saving. If I'd had that, it would have changed my entire life. Support and fight for trans kids. They need us and they need you. Tilly Bridges, End Transmission. Tilly's Trans Tuesdays is hosted by Tilly Bridges and Susan Bridges, with audio editing and sound mixing by Jillian Morgan. The written essay version of this week's topic and all past topics is available at TillysTransTuesdays.com. Special thanks to Daisy and Jane for the use of Sorry Not Sorry as our show's theme music. Please stop by and show your support at daisyandjane.bandcamp.com and soundcloud.com/daisyandjane. You can find me at Tilly Bridges on Blue Sky and on Mastodon at tillybridges@mastodon.social, and you can find Susan on those at Susan L. Bridges. You can find Jillian at Audio Jillian on Blue Sky. You can join the Tillyverse Discord server by following the link at the very bottom of TillysTransTuesdays.com. We hold regular watch parties for the Matrix films and other trans movies where I do a live Q&A, and it's blossomed into a wonderfully supportive, compassionate, kind community of friends. We'd love to have you join us. If you'd like to keep up with all the writing that Susan and I do, you can sign up for our newsletter at birdguestbroadcast.com. If you enjoy this show, please take a moment to leave us a rating on Apple Podcasts. The largest segment of our listeners find the show there, and more reviews equals a higher profile, which means it will reach more of the people who need it. Thank you for your support. For more information, visit pendantaudio.com. Thanks for listening.